Welcome to the EAU podcast series on What Do Young Urologists Need to Know? This is segment 2, where we discuss the balance of life of young urologists. In this second episode, we are joined by Professor Bhaskar Somani, consultant urological surgeon and endurologist at University Hospital Southampton in the United Kingdom. Also, Giorgio Gandalia, assistant professor of urology at Vita Salute San Raffaele University and urologist at San Raffaele Hospital in Milan, Italy. Together, they will discuss the balance between academic and clinical work and strategies for achieving it. Join us as we embark on this informative journey.
Hi, Giorgio. It is a pleasure to welcome you for this podcast, and it's good to have you on board. I'll introduce myself first, Giorgio. I am Professor Bhaskar Somani. I'm a consultant urological surgeon and endourologist in Southampton in UK. If you could introduce yourself, please.
Nice to meet you, Giorgio Gandalia. I am an assistant professor of urology at Vita Salute San Raffaele University in Milan, and I am a full staff urologist at the Department of Urology at the San Raffaele Hospital in Milan.
Perfect. And Giorgio, you also have to do something with the IAU. Tell me your position within the IAU.
Yeah, I have the honor to be the chairman of the IAU Prostate Cancer Working Party since 2019, actually. And I'm working a lot with IAU members trying to perform new studies in the field of prostate cancer.
Great. So this podcast will be towards everybody, but mainly also towards the young urologists. And this particular one, we will talk about the academic and clinical balance and how do we achieve it. Giorgio, you do a lot of academic work and clearly you are a clinician as well. Tell me about how your journey started when you were young. Well, you're still young, but how your journey started between academic and clinical work and how do you keep that balance?
I was introduced to the world of academic by Professor Montorsi back in 2008 or 2009, I believe. And I was a student. I was a medicine student. I asked for an internship in urology at San Raffaele Hospital. And he told me that this is a wonderful job, but at the same time, to be a good urologist, you should also be a good let's say, not only a clinician, but also have an academic interest. Know your data, start collecting your data, analyze them, and trying to improve your everyday management of the patients through research. So this is what I tried to do. I had the honor to start the residency program in urology back in 2011 here at San Raffaele University, under the mentorship of Professor Montorsi, Professor Briganti, Professor Salonia, and they kind of encouraged me to have a deeper knowledge of biostatistics. And for this, I went to Canada, to Montreal, and I spent there 1 year studying health outcome research under the supervision of Professor Karakevich. And that was extremely helpful. I was able to collect data, to create a data set and to analyze this data, which can be data from large population-based registries. But at the same time, you learn how to analyze your own data and how to translate what you learn from the data in the clinical practice to assess which is the best management of the patient, for example, the best diagnostic path. So this is how I started with my academic work.
That is incredible. That list of mentors is something most people will be very jealous of. So that is incredible. And I can see how the initial, the stimulus and the initial encouragement and mentorship can really make a difference. So I think one of the important things for young people to understand is the academic clinical work is quite important, we feel. Both of us do enough academic work. But do you think it is necessary to be an academic as well as clinical or the clinician? Or do you think it is only for some people? Because the view that people have is, well, academics is not for me and it is only by some people who are academics, you know. What is your view in having both aspects to the practice?
I believe not everyone can be an academic because of their own interest. But at the same time, ideally, to improve our field, to improve the knowledge in urology, everyone should have an academic mind. You should realize that knowing your own data or trying to improve the knowledge of what you're doing, improving your outcomes and the patient outcomes and the way we treat and we manage our patients is something incredibly powerful and something of extreme interest.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I was going to add to that, that actually, if in the truth, although you don't have to be an academic who does all the academic work all the time, but to be a good clinician, if you understand the academics, if you have done some of it, you understand your data or the published data much better. So when you have papers, when you're reading it, if you have done some academic work, it is much easier for you to understand. And also the new things that come, you can probably imbibe that and you can take it on your clinical practice much easily, because otherwise it's not very easy to take something new in your practice. And being an academic that way helps. Can I ask your view then, Giorgio, because we work in two different places. You're in Italy, I'm in UK. Do you get protected time for academic work for people who do academics in the Italy? How does that work? And I can then share about UK and some other places. But how does it work for you? And what is ideal as a young urologist if you want to encourage them?
Yeah, that was exactly my point. Everyone should have an academic mind, but to be an academic clinician, it's something a little bit different because it's time consuming, meaning that in some lucky places, you can have dedicated time for research, like one day, 2 days per week, something like this. But it's not always the case. For us in Italy, we try to have a dedicated slot for research at least 1 day per week. It depends only also obviously by academic duties. So you have 1 day dedicated to outpatient clinic, then you have your mornings, which are typically dedicated to the OR and to surgeries, and then you have research, and on the top of it, you have obviously academic work related also to teaching activities for students, which can be kind of time-consuming as well. So these are full weeks, a lot of work, and obviously you are not doing only your patients, you are also dedicating your time to research, to teaching activities. And if you like it, this can be very satisfactory, and you can you can really love what you're doing.
Again, I agree with you. So in the UK, for example, and in quite a few other countries, the academic time is not given. So for example, I have been a professor for many years now, but I did not have, and I don't have a dedicated academic time as a professor. Most of the academic work happens in my time. You do have a lot of places in the world where you have a protected time, let's say, for academic work. But actually, in most clinical setups, that is not the case. Nevertheless, we should still try to make the most of the time that you can get and create some time for academic work. Now, that brings to one of the other interesting debates, Giorgio. Do you think every clinician can be an academic, or every academic person can be a clinician, or is it always going to be a blend in depending on what people enjoy and what their strengths are?
One should follow his own preferences and vocation, let's say. So you can have someone, and we have talented urologists who decided to be academics and who decided to stop clinical work because they were not enjoying it. And they can still enhance a lot the way we treat our patients and the knowledge in the field of urology. On the other end, someone can just say, okay, I'm not interested in academic, I'm not interested in research, in teaching or whatever. I just want to focus on my patients. And this is, I believe, acceptable, obviously. And this is a personal decision. What I strongly advise and I'd like to encourage our younger colleagues is that even if you decide to be a clinician and to forget about research, for example, please keep reading academic work and research articles because they can actually improve the way you manage your patients, and they would have a substantial impact on your everyday clinical practice. And this is key for improving the outcomes of our patients at the end of the day.
Great. Giorgio, can I ask you, so, you know, when we talk about academic, just for the young urologists, when we talk about academic work, is it a mixture of papers, presentations, you know, audits, doing some lab work? How do you define academia for them? What in your mind constitutes an academia? Is it grant applications? Is it everything all of the above? And are papers the single most important currency then? Or it's not just about papers?
It's not just about papers. When you're young, you believe it's all about having a high number of papers and citations on PubMed. Then you realize that you also need to add something related to teaching, students, mentoring. And then you also realize that to be a good mentor and to create your own research team, you need to have funding. And this is where grant applications come, and this is where you need to focus if you want to be able to create a strong team of people working with it to improve and to basically perform your research studies.
You mentioned a very important point there, Giorgio, about the team structure. So I can tell you an example. When I started here, I started as a single endourologist in my hospital, and now in our stone team, endourology team, we have 12 people, including 3 fellows and so on. How important is the team structure or team? It could be colleagues, it could be nurses, it could be juniors, it could be your mentors. How important is that team in an academic person's life to achieve and fulfill and excel in most of these that we have talked about?
You need to have people you like surrounding you. So people you enjoy spending time with.
Yeah,
this is the most important thing, first of all. And it should be a nice environment. And it should be a team of people who are aiming at the same goal and heading to the same direction. And obviously, you need to understand that not everyone can be, can have the same skill. So you need to have a right heterogeneous group of people with different complementary skills, if we can say it like this. So we need to have someone who is very talented and experienced, for example, in biostatistics, and someone who loves collecting data, someone who is a great clinician with great ideas, someone who loves basic science. And you need to create the right team based on different skills of each team member.
Correct. Again, I agree that the team is not about an individual, but all individuals bring something unique to the pool, and together they can create the magic. And that academic work would be slightly different in terms of each person's overall contribution on achievement and so on. So before we go, one last thing, Giorgio. If somebody had to have, and I know it might be different for you and me, but let's say for the young people, what proportion of their time, if they had that choice, let's say, should be clinical? Let's say they are full-time clinicians to begin with, and what proportion, at least as a minimum, they should give to some academic work to be successful in the long run and to enjoy that career of urology?
I would recommend to dedicate, if you are a clinician, at least 50% of your time to the clinic, to be your R. So this is, let's say, you wanted to be a doctor, you wanted to be a urologist, and this is your job. So at least 50%. Then, as we were discussing, you have research, and that should be approximately 30%, and the remaining 20% is about teaching and is about mentoring. So this is the ideal scenario in my mind, but I know that it's very hard to
achieve that.
Yeah, achieve it in the real world.
But I'll tell you, I think you are right. I mean, in an ideal world, if somebody is an academically minded person, that is perfect. I think even if you are a clinically minded person, at least 10% of your time should go to academics and 10% to teaching. I'm saying as a minimum, that teaching could be related to surgical teaching, academic teaching, or whichever other form of teaching and mentoring. But maybe when you don't have time and you can't dedicate 80%, you are still a clinician. But at least you need to create and find the 10% for being a teacher or a mentor, and then 10% for academic work, whether you're reading, contributing in different ways. And if you did that, probably your own clinical work also will become more enjoyable. You will enjoy your clinical work also a bit more than if you're a full-time clinician. Giorgio, thank you so much for giving your time. Is there any last words for the young urologists that you can take out from your own successful journey you've had so far to give them some kind of pearls of wisdom, let's say?
Let's say it's not wisdom, but it's I'm getting old. So it's something that you realize getting older and older. So basically, we have a fantastic society. And if you look at it, you can get a lot of opportunities, teaching opportunities, research activities, fellowships, everything. You really, if you want to put yourself in a position where you can really improve, learn, and give you the opportunity to be a clinician and an academic, our society is giving you the means to do it. So I strongly encourage you to apply for young membership if you are a young academic urologist, to apply for scholarships and to attend meetings. And again, these are excellent opportunities. And the second advice I have for them is to find a mentor, to learn from your mentor or what you can. And learning from your mentor means learning the good things, but also be critical, be able to see the mistakes of your mentors and try not to replicate them. So these are my main two advices to young.
Great. No, great advice. So thank you so much. So I would just repeat for the purpose of the viewers, the society, of course, we are talking about EAU, and you can have EAU membership affiliation. You can be affiliated to different things, young academic urologists. And we have both, Giorgio and myself, have personally benefited from fellowships or scholarships. And I think that is very, very good, and you need to apply. But above all, remember that urology is not just about clinical work. I think academics, in some way or the other, play an important part, as we have found out from Giorgio's journey and in my own personal journey, I can tell you, has been very rewarding, although I had no protected time for it. So thank you so much once again to the European School of Urology, to Jurgita and the team, to Giorgio for taking the time out. And I hope you're listening, and please, we'll be very happy to catch up with you, both of us, at some point, and happy balance with clinical work and academics to everyone. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you.
Thank you for this insightful episode. We are sure our listeners enjoyed it. To keep up with the latest EAU podcasts and stay informed on urological advancements, be sure to subscribe to our EAU podcast channel on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, keep learning and stay inspired.